And as you, in this experience, develop the ability in your consciousness to be liberated from the dependence on the body, when that moment arrives that you have overcome the necessity to depend on a body, you will have established your finished soul body. And that will be the third day. Jesus had to reveal the necessity for you rising to a third day. This third day is within your consciousness, in which finally you can say, I have overcome this body, this world. I am now in my soul body. And then, when you make your transition, having accomplished this, not needing the body, because your consciousness can now do everything that you had needed the body to do, now your soul body continues in your transition and simply drops the physical body that it doesn't need anymore. For you have learned how to do those things in consciousness which had required a body on this plane. Now this soul body then is what you are slowly fashioning now. You may not have known it, and this is the deeper water that we'll go into after we just relax a little and get a little drink of water. This is 1 Corinthians 3:10. According to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundations, and another building thereon, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. This is the only place in the Bible where Paul calls himself a master builder. Now, this is a good place to see something. Jesus was not a carpenter by accident. A carpenter is a builder. Paul was not a master builder by accident. He did not go to a city and found no friends except a husband and a wife who were tent makers by accident. And masonry isn't called masons by accident. All of these, the carpenter, the master builder, the master mason, the tent makers, what are they building? A soul body. That's the point. The soul body is the building. Now, the 3 days then were a symbolism through which Jesus was revealing that if you want to do what I'm doing, if you want to follow me, there are 3 steps. And the 3rd step is you must find the temple made without hands. Now, of course, Paul knew all of this. And so when in this 1 Corinthians, where he spoke of himself as a master builder and said, take heed, understand that there is another buildeth on my foundation, he was telling you that there is this Christ within, which is going to be your soul body. This Christ body, this soul body, this mystical body, attained here on earth, not after death. The only reason there's a resurrection in Jesus is so that he could come forth in the same body and show you, you must do this here, in the body you're in the same body. Your resurrection is not going to take place by dying and then being resurrected. Your resurrection, through your realization of this mystical or soul or Christ body, your resurrection is here on earth. And it is only through this attainment here on earth that you make your ascension or transition. Ascension or transition. Now then you find that you're learning how you must, in this incarnation, transfigure matter. Now there was a birth and then a rebirth, and finally a transfiguration in which he could step out of the flesh. This transfiguration is the attainment of your soul body. This is the real Immaculate Conception. Now there are other passages in here which being very esoteric and not seen by the lay mind. And as we go through them, we find that our friend Paul, has really opened us up to a greater depth of ourselves than we had suspected. We're going to 1 Thessalonians. We're going to see him talking about his soul body. I think it's 1 Thessalonians 5:14. There's a very interesting statement. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even that so, them also which sleep in God, in Jesus, will God bring with him. For this we say unto you, by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And now in verse 17, the culmination of that is this: then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. And you see, this is his mystical way of explaining that you must develop your soul body. It was a very difficult thing to teach. It had to be veiled. And it was to teach about this soul body, this invisible living body, which is your possession and hath been your possession from before time, that he was willing to take all the physical punishment he took. Whatever he took physically was not in his soul body. And he was willing and able to take it for that reason. And when you learn of yours and can express it, can feel it, can live in it, then you will find all of the physical infirmities of this world are as nothing. Because you know that they are not out there or even in your body, but they are simply mental images which you are entertaining in thought. Now the third step to the soul body, to the Christ mind, reveals that the second step in which we're now in is a very strange one. This which we call this world exists completely in your thought. The third step is to take you out of the world, which is your thought externalized. Only as you graduate from the thought universe into his thoughts will you discover his kingdom. Now, everything you know and see and feel and touch is not a thing, but your thought about a thing. This world is thought. Not objects, not things, not persons, not human beings, but our thought about such things. Everywhere you look, whoever you see, you're not seeing him or her, you're seeing your thought about him and her. You never go outside of your own mind. And the world never exists outside of your own mind. There's never been any matter in your mind. Your mind has an impression, which you call matter. And so this thought universe that we're in is that mesmerism of the mind which we have called this world. And as this human permits his soul body to become revealed within himself, he grows out of the humus, out of the human, and becomes man or manifestation, and manifests that which has ever been. And then man walks the earth in his soul body, one with the Father, and is ready for the great transition which Jesus said he would accomplish in 3 days. And his 3 days was to tell you that when you too have found within yourself the temple made without hands, you will have done the third step which was necessary for you to follow me and do likewise. Now there's another passage in Thessalonians, and this is the 5th chapter of 1 Thessalonians, and this is the verses from 14 to 26. And here, in various clipped phrases, Paul tells you how you will build a soul body. Now, of course, it wouldn't be known that that's what he was saying unless you were aware of it. And then these words take a different meaning. We might add that to build this soul body which finally transfigures you, there are two basic needs. One is that you must serve, and one is you must love. Through love and through service alone do you find within yourself the soul body. And as you listen to the Father in obedience, his guidance, his grace directs you through love and through service so that you finally shake off the husk. You slowly release the concept. You come out of the cumbersome physical form. You attain an awareness of the meaning of omniscience and omnipresence and omnipotence. And you're ready for transition. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly. Now these may sound like just habits of behavior you ought to cultivate, but this is the way you purify. These are the steps you take in your purification toward transfiguration. Warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. What is it saying? It's saying, do not judge. Look at them withholding judgment, serve. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice forevermore. That's a hard thing to do. But when you look behind the scenes, the rejoicing is to know that the finished kingdom of God is within you, ever present, waiting to be acknowledged, to be released, so that it can move through you and reveal itself. Rejoice is your awareness of the finished kingdom within you. Pray without ceasing. And now you're taking the whole Old Testament in three words. Pray without ceasing. Again, does it mean getting on your knees and supplicating the Father? Now you know it doesn't. It means your recognition of the Father within, your quietness, your listening, your surrender, your meekness unto the Father within, your fearing the Lord within, waiting for the contact within, and in that you are praying without ceasing. Meanwhile, on the outer, you are not judging. So you're praying within without ceasing and judging not on the outer. And that's part of your praying without ceasing. For if you judge on the outer, if you have iniquity in your heart, the Father will not listen. So you're not judging on the outer, so that you may pray without ceasing on the inner. And all of this is going on always. Straight and narrow, isn't it? But that's how the soul body comes into being. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in you, of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the Spirit. That's another way of saying, blessed are the poor in spirit. Quench not the Spirit. You're never through listening within. The Spirit must ever flow. Despise not prophesyings. That is a subtle way of telling you to listen for revelation from within yourself. Despise not prophesyings. Listen for the voice of the Father within, as the prophets did before you. And this is the guidance. This is the word. This is the fulfillment of abide in me and I and thee, and I will direct thy paths. How? By this inner prophesying, this voice within. Despise not prophesyings. Listen within. Prove all things. That's important. Prove all things. Otherwise, we follow the false prophets of the mind, thinking we have fulfilled the will of the Father. And if the signs don't follow, you haven't proved all things. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless under the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the sanctification of the flesh, or the redemption of the flesh, the returning to the Father within, and the final revelation that I am the Spirit of God, comes through your obedience to these injunctions. They have been said many times in many other ways. Now you come to a place where you have to choose to serve reality or unreality. I would like to take you a part of the distance with a meditation which I'd like you to consider as an important meditation for you to do by yourself as well as in this class. I am life eternal. Now, that is the reality of your being. That is the finished kingdom. That is what you are this moment. But not being in the realization of it, there still must be tomorrow to unfold that which you already are today. But as you take I am life eternal into meditation, you may begin to feel a new depth of your being. And this will go a long way into bringing you closer to the realization of the soul body. Now, in your contemplation of the meaning of this, you must see that this is the truth of your being. You are life eternal. But if you are life eternal, then that of you which is not eternal is not you. Your thumb is not you. Your arm is not you. Your physical body is not you, because it is not eternal. You are life eternal. And therefore, that of you which is not eternal cannot be you. And this is your choosing between God and mammon. You cannot be one and the other, or you cannot be one and a part of the other. You are eternal life, or you are not. And because that which a man thinketh in his heart is that which his life will express, it is now important for you to step over into this realization and to let the meaning of it dwell within you. I am life eternal. That which the Father is, I am. That which the Father hath is mine. His life is my life. His life is eternal life. And Son, all that I hath is thine. My eternal life is your eternal life. That which hath been, this eternal life, is now, and it is your life. And you must learn within your consciousness to accept it. And this is where the work must be done, in your consciousness. You must learn to rest in the quiet, completely devoid of that mind which is not eternal, that mind which someday you will give back from whence it came. You must learn now to be independent of that mind for the moment, independent of this body for the moment, independent of all of your transient and transitory thoughts. All of you that is but for the moment or but for a span must be dropped. For I am life eternal. I am spirit. For spirit is life eternal. And it is the Father's will that which hath been should be. It is the Father's will that I live in my spiritual selfhood, in the recognition of it. And this is why I have been taught to pray without ceasing, to fear the Lord, to drink of the fountain of living waters, so that I may find that I am that life eternal. For only as I discover this can I function in my true body and find the new heaven and the new earth. Only functioning thusly can I drop the false claims of the world upon me, the false fears, the false doubts, the false endings, the false deaths. Only as I know myself to be the I am that is life eternal. And so I rest in that. And now, that which I am, I rest in and let it reveal itself in the silence. Spirit is bearing intercession. As you do this, the voice will say, I am life eternal. And then you will find the new depth of your being. As something within you declares what your mind had declared, what your tongue had declared, as now in the silence something deeper within you says, I am life eternal, you will find the depth of your being. You will see that this is the you have been seeking. Not the I am that you have declared, but the I am which declares itself within you in the silence of your mind. It will. It does. And when it does, that is the soul body speaking. That is your soul. You have found the still waters that restore your soul. And if at that moment the same person were to come to you and say, help me, you would stand there and you would know exactly what to do. You would stand there and this I am the life eternal which had spoken within you would say it then. I am life eternal. And it would move through you, independent of the human being standing where you are. And it would sweep away all of the human claims. I, the life eternal moving through you, will reveal myself in your friend as perfection, as harmony. Now, as you meditate on I am life eternal, you will come to that great principle, which is the cornerstone of your spiritual education. Unless I am life eternal, I am dead. For there's no other kind of life. All other kind of life is what the Bible calls the living dead. Until you are life eternal realized, you are not in consciousness and you are not conscious. You become conscious when you are life eternal realized. All else is unconsciousness, the Adam dream, the Adam sleep. We who are not life eternal are not conscious, because God is consciousness, and unless you are one with God, you are not conscious. You are in the imitation called human consciousness. And it is this great transition in consciousness when I am life eternal within yourself declares itself. Through your repeated contemplations and meditations, and then you know that I and the Father are one. For this I and the Father are one. Now you're above being an image, being a reflection. You're not a dead reflection. You are one with the Father. And that one makes you ready for any transition that may become necessary. That one lives under grace. That one is one with the Lord. That one is Christ realized. That one is the fulfillment of Scripture. And that one becomes the living Bible. Ready to say and be, I am the truth. I am the way. I am life eternal. I am the child of God. I am under grace. The grace of my being is my sufficiency. This is your self-completion in Christ. How far are we from it? Not as far as it might appear. For as we move away from it, still that which the Father requireth remains inflexible. And slowly the prodigal is pulled back through incarnation to this same point. His word will not return void. Every knee will bend to his will, that which hath been shall be, that the 6 days of creation shall manifest where you stand. And all of the karmas, all of the problems, all of the anxieties are nothing more than our involuntary ignorance of the fact that we must fulfill this. We must return. We must come to that point of oneness where the Spirit lives as us. Where I live, yet not I. This that is called the Christ. This in me is declaring I am life eternal. I am the light. I am the way. Trust me. You find this great new dimension of yourself, this inner depth which has been forming into your consciousness through these many thousands of years. Now please try that meditation several times with yourself. I am life eternal. Understand it, that is the truth of your being. And you're going through as a human being from one side of the tunnel, and at the other side of the tunnel is this I am life eternal. Someday you're going to meet. And you will find that which you have been striving to understand is your true self. Then I am life eternal is above the laws of matter. I am life eternal is the functioning of grace, and this is the experience of your eternal life, not in the hereafter, but in the now. For the moment I am life eternal becomes your consciousness, then your unfoldment is quite different than the prodigal who is in his own devices. Now everything that flows through you, appearing as you, is really God incarnate. The Father within doing the works. There's no longer a separation in which your human mind wakes up in the morning and plans its day. Instead, the Father within, quietly, in the invisible, your life eternal, lives itself so that creation manifests where you stand. The Word manifests as the flesh. Now this is our purpose in this incarnation, or the next, or the next. All incarnation for us is to attain this state of being. And you will find that there is a definite change in your way of life as even a particle of this I Am Life Eternal becomes part of your awareness. It will have an effect on your mind to bring it to still waters. It will cease fearing. It will stop its judgment of evil where you stand, in you or in another. It will begin to see that I, being life eternal, even if at this moment my form is taken away, right now I will still be here. I am life eternal. And this life depends on no heart, no liver, no lung, no body. For that which I am is life eternal. And do you see how this coming into your recognition relieves that mind which fears, which wants to protect this body it has created? And how you can then begin to look at your problems with no judgment. For now the discipline is upon you. You can look at this problem with no judgment. It's not evil. It's not good. And rest. And let I Am Life Eternal come forth and sweep away that which is not life eternal. Letting the Father reveal itself as harmony. For I am life eternal and I am harmonious life eternal. I am peace for life eternal. I am truth for life eternal. I am justice in life eternal. I am these qualities of life eternal, and all that I am must wipe away the false mind that bears false witness. You've seen these pool sweeps. They're on all day or all night, and they continuously clean that pool. They just move slowly around the pool, cleaning it in depth. I Am Life Eternal in consciousness does that for your consciousness. It's a consciousness sweep. It just moves around your consciousness, purifying it of all iniquity, of all false concept. And as you meditate with it, you will begin to find that you are becoming a true disciple of the Christ of your own being. Now please practice that. And another one is, I am the truth. So that you stop hunting for it. You won't find it anywhere except in your own being. And if you're hunting for the way, I am the way. These three meditations, I can assure you, are in the rhythm of the Father. I am life eternal. I am the truth. I am the way. And the fullness of them comes when the Spirit within assures you this is the truth. Now then, today we've traveled quite a long way. We've seen that David gave the gift of the knowledge of the Father within to his son. His son gave us the gift that the Father within must be fulfilled. Paul gave us the gift that as you touch the Father within, the Spirit will release you from your false concepts and will release others from their false concepts, healing them. And then he revealed further that my function is to be a master builder What am I building? I'm helping you build your soul body. I'm helping you find the temple made without hands, which enabled Jesus to walk through an experience that no other man had walked through. Now, you will not be resurrected in 3 days. Your resurrection will occur right here, right now, in the flesh, when you finish the third step of finding this body that I, Paul, the master builder, am trying to show you. This body that Jesus, the carpenter, the master builder, demonstrated. This body that these tent makers in Athens, whom I worked with, were building. This body that the master mason is building. Always we begin to see now the invisible inner self, which is life eternal, is my true self. And then you see that as you become more aware of this invisible life eternal body, this outer body is going to become less and less necessary. You won't be compelled to take 5 hours to go from here to there. Your consciousness is omnipresent. You won't be compelled to bury a body. Your consciousness is life eternal. Yes, you can make this experience, this walking through the various phases of crucifixion, resurrection, and ascension. It's meant for us to do, but not in a physical form. And that's why we must learn to ascend into the consciousness of the fourth dimension. Now, you might like to know another facet of the 3 days that Jesus said he would resurrect in. And as he worked from the fourth dimension, the fourth heaven, there were still 3 more heavens to go. And so his work, the Christ work, was done again in the 5th, 6th, and 7th heavens. And this would correspond to the 3 days in which I would return. But fully, ultimately, the real truth, the total truth, is that he went nowhere. The spirit of the Christ was ever present. And the real return of Jesus was merely when those who remained here within the so-called period of 3 days became able to see again that invisible spirit. For it never departed. It took 3 more days for his disciples to rise high enough in spirit to see that which could never depart, the omnipresent Christ. Now, the way you see the 3 days is going to depend on where you are in consciousness. I've given you several various levels that you can look at it from. Most important is that we who wish to be and are disciples of the Christ learn now that the Christ to whom we are a disciple is within us. It is the Comforter. And in our integrity, our spiritual fidelity to that Christ within, we are fearing the Lord. And our prayers will not be in vain, because our prayer will simply be a recognition of the Christ within, the life eternal of my being. Now, you can take a few more steps if you wish to. As life eternal, I certainly cannot be confined to a physical form. And therefore, I can begin to rejoice in the self that I am, which is not confined to the tomb of the body. I can begin to be more aware that there is a life eternal that I am, which is not confined, which is free, which is emancipated. And in my meditations, I can dwell upon this soul body, which is without restriction. And as I dwell upon it, it will slowly unfold itself to my consciousness in various ways. as a healing consciousness, as a fulfilling consciousness, as a signs following consciousness, as a freedom consciousness, as a loving consciousness, as a harmony consciousness. For you see, in this soul is the allness that the Father bequeathed you. And it begins to manifest. As you become more conscious of it, it manifests. You are piercing the veil. You are rising above the thought universe. You are rising above this mental universe called the world. The soul is lifting you into itself. And now you're in the innerness, the temple within, the secret place. You're beginning to fulfill that Old and New Testament. You're beginning to fulfill all of the work of the complete line of prophets right on up to those of the latter days, of even this century, those who had painstakingly dwelt within the Spirit to lead us to the realization that I am a life that is the life of God. I have no other life, for there is no other life. God is all life, and all life, therefore, includes my life. And that life can never die. I rest in that life in my contemplations until my consciousness responds within. And because it can never die, I know it can never be sick. And all sickness now is in my false consciousness. I'm making the step. There can be no sickness in my life because I am life eternal. There can be no problems in my life because I am life eternal. There can be no hate or animosities in my life because I am life eternal. There can be no iniquity or evil in my life because I am life eternal. Then when these things happen, where are they? They are not in my life. They are appearances. And I judge not appearances. I have learned the art of not judging appearances. I can behold them as neither good nor evil until my consciousness of life eternal dissolves these appearances. You see, you have taken all of the evil of this world and put it outside of your life where it belongs. It never was in your life. It was in your false consciousness about life. Now you have no ending out there, and you have no beginning over there. You are life eternal. And as you dwell with this, it will manifest in various ways. Fear will diminish. Problems will diminish. The heart will lose its anxieties. There will be an easiness in your life. There will be assurance and confidence and eventually rejoicing. This is the way you go about building the Father's house within you. And then these things will not come nigh the Father's house, which is your dwelling. Now maybe today we've covered enough. I'm not quite sure which direction we'll continue, but you may be sure that we will definitely work closer to the revelation of the soul body within you. It is our fond hope that each of you develops the healing consciousness, the ability, through the knowledge of your true self, to let your true self live itself in this temple and to reveal itself as the power of God within you. Omnipresent, ever there, ever ready to respond to one who will remember to stay close to this inner self, to work quietly within, to have your moments of silence and your meditations upon the great issues, not on something petty. For everything you do should be bent toward one purpose, to reveal the Father within. And then, in a few weeks, We'll be preparing announcements. We will now proceed from Immortality House to welcome incurable diseases, with the understanding that there are no diseases that are incurable. In other words, it is our plan to demonstrate to you, to whoever is interested, that the power of the Spirit knows no disease that is incurable. And so we have very interesting days ahead for all of us.